Going to go ahead and read verses 17 through 21. Our text verse tonight will be verse 21. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And we will read responsibly verses 17 through 21. I'll read, you read, and so forth. Romans chapter 12. Verse 17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Verse 21 together. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the preaching of your word now, Lord. I pray, God, that you fill me with your power. Give me the words to speak, Lord. Give me clarity. Give me thought tonight. I ask you to open every heart tonight. I thank you for this dear church. I thank you for these dear folks, and I want to help them now. Pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to turn to another scripture here, Philippians chapter 2, kind of an afterthought here, this portion, but Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to turn back to Romans 12 in just a moment, but Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, this talk about developing the mind of Christ. I'm going to go ahead and use this mic tonight, I think. Maybe there will be some here this evening wondering, I don't know how this message really is going to go tonight, but some of you may be wondering by the end of the service, where was a preacher that was here this morning? we'll see. But I certainly want to help you. The Bible does say to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And I think I did some of the exhorting this morning, and maybe tonight we'll just kind of have to get right down a little bit here, but I want to help you, and I trust this will be a help. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, that's talking about developing a mind like Christ. This mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I got thinking, actually today, you know, how in the world, in a world like ours, can we keep or even develop a mind of Christ? Yeah, I just got thinking about that just a little bit. How can we go ahead and develop the mind of Christ? Christ had a pure mind. I mean, Christ had a pure thought. I mean, of course, he was subject, the Bible says, to like passions as you and I are in his earthly ministry. But the truth of the matter is, he had a pure mind. He did not think a dirty thought. He did not go ahead and wander around and his eyes didn't wander and look at things he shouldn't have. He had a clean, pure mind. And I just got thinking, how in the world, in this world that we live in, how can we go ahead and literally live a clean, pure thought life? The Bible says, be not overcome. This is our text tonight. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It seems like evil is everywhere. You know, everywhere we turn, we get bombarded, if you will, with evil. We go through a checkout counter at the store, and you're bombarded with tabloids, with filthy covers and gossip columns. You're innocent. So-called innocent TV ads have to promote some woman half-dressed to advertise whatever it is. Some of the most simple things in the world are advertised with nudity. Your rock music always seems to infiltrate these advertisements. Rock music seems to always be playing in every store of the mall. You can barely go to a mall anymore without seeing half-dressed men or half-dressed women on the walls and walking the halls of the mall. Evil thoughts. Evil is everywhere. Our society has become very flippant in what you can wear. Homosexuality has become a norm in our society today, thanks to the Ellen DeGenerates of this world and the Rosie O'Donnells. Today's music promotes one's sexuality and rebellion against authority and drugs and witchcraft, and it seems to be pumped into the minds of everywhere we go. Everywhere you go, you hear it. And I got thinking, how can I go ahead and develop the mind that Christ wants me to have in such an evil, evil world? Seems everywhere we go, wickedness of the world and the devil is evident. How can we escape it? What do we do? Our text course is to overcome, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Evil is all about us, but I thank God. Let me just stop and say this. I thank God that there's a little island right here in Carver. I thank God that there's a little island right here in Carver that's open every Sunday morning at 9:45, 10:45 a.m., Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday night at 6:15 p.m., that does not promote the world's music, that does not promote promiscuity, does not promote mini skirts and short shorts in the Hollywood movies and half-dressed men and women. I thank God there's a little island here called the Bible believing local church that lifts up Christ. I thank God for that tonight. You know what? How are we going to overcome evil with good? You know what? Hey, if I was to stop my sermon right now, let's go to church. Let's go to church. I'm talking about the local Bible believing Baptist church that holds up the King James Bible and preaches it as it is. I thank God that there's a little island, what I would consider a little island of safety, that we can bring our kids, that we can bring our families, so that we don't have to promote what the world promotes. But you're going to go ahead and come hear the old fashioned gospel songs. You're going to come hear the victory in Jesus. You're going to hear the Jesus loves me, this I know. You're going to hear the mansion over the hilltops. You're going to go ahead and hear on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, and the emblem of suffering and shame. You're going to go ahead and hear, my faith has found a resting place. You're going to go ahead and hear, pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still pressing as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I thank God that tonight there is a safe place for your children, families. I thank God that tonight there is a safe place for you, man. There is a safe place for you, teenager. There is a safe place for you, lady. Hey, I thank God that we have a Bible-believing local independent Baptist church. I thank God that we have a little island here, and there's so many little islands all over America tonight. I'm talking about, you know, in Maine, right on across to California. I'm talking about the independent Bible-believing Baptist church. Look right up here now, teenagers. Look right up here. Saw a little bit too much whispering earlier, and this is church time, so I want everybody looking right up here, okay? But I thank God there's little islands that lift up this book all across this great nation. I thank God for the missionaries that we have that are willing to dedicate their life and go to a foreign country and start a little island. I'm talking about the independent Baptist church. I thank God that we can be at a place called a local church that lifts up Christ, where the Bible is preached without apology. I say it again, where the Bible is preached without apology. We're not going to go ahead apologize for taking the word of God and saying, thus saith the Lord. I thank God we have a little island where families can be raised and trained to do right, where good friends are introduced. I thank God for the local Bible-believing church. So how do we overcome evil with good? Number one, we must always denounce sin. Always. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That word abhor means to detest or shrink from that which is evil. When you see evil in your path, well, let me tell you something. We ought to be growing as a Christian, because you know what? The more you grow and the more you get in the Word of God, and the more that you would obtain the things of God and listen to the preaching and listen to your Sunday school teacher and grow and grow and grow, let me tell you something. It's going to help you to abhor evil. You know, the more that you soak in the things of God like a sponge, you know, unfortunately, tonight, you know why Christians go by the wayside? Because you're working with a dry sponge. You say, what do you mean by that? You know what? If I had a dry, and I don't have it, I wish I had the illustration. If I had a dry sponge up here, and I had a little spot on this pulpit, on my pulpit here, and if I had a dry sponge up here, and I had a little ink spot there, and I wanted to, you know what? A dry sponge isn't going to do much. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, but if I went ahead and soaked that sponge in warm water and soap, okay, you know, I might very well be able to get something done on cleaning up that spot. Hey, let me tell you something. You know why Christians are dying tonight? You know why Christians are going by the wayside tonight? Because they don't have the warm water of soap of the gospel in their sponge. They're working with a dry sponge. Is it any reason why you can't get cleaned up? Is it any reason why we fall the moment that you go ahead and walk out the church doors? You fall down and you have a hard time getting back up because you don't have the strength of the Word of God soaked in you to go ahead and clean yourself up and lead you along the way. But the more that we soak in the things of God, and the more we soak in good music, and the more we soak in the Word of God in our lives, you know what, it's going to help us to recognize evil and to abhor from evil, so that as we go down our path, and we all have our race to run, we all have our path to walk, and as you go down, you're going to be at the spot, whoa, I've got to shrink back from that thing right there. You know what, you're going to be able to recognize that which is evil. hey, how are we going to go ahead and overcome evil with good? We must always, always, always denounce sin. When you join and cleave, and that means join to that which is good. When you join something, you hold on to it with dear life. You know, when I got married, I cleaved to my wife. Okay, I joined together with her, and I am never, ever, ever letting go. Amen. Amen. I'm never letting go. It is till death do we part. And never, I say never, am I going to let that go, let her go. You know what? When I got married, and I'm just using this as an illustration, if we're going to overcome evil with good, we need to abhor. We need to hate. We need to shrink back that from that which is sin. And we need to learn to recognize it. And the truth of the matter is, and we need to cleave to that which is good. Hey, illustration, when I got married, you know what? I cleaved with my wife. We are one. And let me tell you something, I'm never, ever, ever, ever letting that go. And you know what? Let me just stop and say this. We need that again today in our marriages. Whatever happened to the attitude of till death do we part? And listen to me. I know there are times. I know that there are instances in life where things have to happen. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, hey, we need to get back till the death do we part. I'm on a rabbit trail a minute here. But if we need some marriages today, that'll be strong. And how are we going to stay strong? Hey, if you're married tonight, if you're going to stay strong and stay focused and have a strong marriage, you got to keep this book a part of your life. You got to keep the local church a part of your life. You got to keep God a big part of your life. But you need to cleave on to that which is good. You know, you cleave on to that spouse. No matter what happens, thick and thin, you know, is going to come. But you need to cleave on to her or him. You need to not let him or her go. Don't let the devil, you know, the devil's after the home more than any other time ever before. And one way is through divorce. And don't let divorce and don't let the devil break up a happy home. Let me tell you something. And I'm on my rabbit trail and I'll get back on track. But this is good. If I parked here, it'd be very good. But the truth matters, I'm not going to stay parked here very long. But the truth is, you know, the devil's after a home. And you know what? We better. I mean, if we're married tonight, but we better hang on to that. We better get soaked in the principles of the Word of God. We better make it a part of our life. Because let me tell you something. I have seen what divorce does to families. I've seen it. You know what? It doesn't take much. You go visit the local bus route. Okay? And a lot of broken homes. You know what? It devastates the kids. And it's not just that. You take some of the middle and upper class, those that have gone ahead and got divorced. You know what? It affects the whole family. It affects the children. Hey, we just need old-fashioned marriages again. But hey, you know what? How are we going to overcome that which is evil? We need to cleave onto that. Hold on to that which is good. We need to detest sin, abhor evil. We need to detest sin. We need to shy away from it. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we denounce sin? First of all, we need to submit to God. We need to go ahead and submit ourselves to God. We were to do that at salvation. We did that just enough to go ahead and realize that we were a sinner and that we were lost and we were going to hell. We did that just enough to go ahead and get saved. But after that, we never grew. We never got in the local independent Baptist church. And the truth of it, we never truly, fully submitted to God. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? We belong to God and we ought to be submitting our whole life to God. God says, submit yourselves therefore to God. He says to submit yourselves there to God. We were to do that at salvation. If we would just learn that God has a much better way, we would be a whole lot happier. You know, why do we get in the pickle of sin, if you will? Why do we get all bound up and go get all wrapped up in sin, if you will? It's simply because we do not simply submit to God. You know, no doubt there's some here tonight, they're pushing away the preaching of the Word of God. Pushing it away. God wants to go ahead and do something. He wants to pound it in you, if you will. He wants to pound. And by the way, he will win. You know, he'll have his day. But the truth of the matter is, I know people that will go ahead and push away the preaching of the Word of God. They may sit here in a church service, in a Sunday morning service, in a Sunday school class, and not even pay attention, not even get to have a clue what their teacher taught them and what their preacher taught them. Hey, let me tell you something. That's not true submission to God. You know, I find when I submit to God, he'll go ahead and submit back. He will. You say, God, yeah, he'll go ahead and submit back. You know what? When I go ahead and I submit and I do his will and I submit to his rules and to his word of God, you know what? I find, you know what? Then he looks down. You know that verse, delight thyself in the Lord? When he sees me delighting, and that, to me, I call that submission. when I'm submitting to God, okay, and I am just bowing down to him and say, okay, God, and by the way, we are God's. The Bible says so. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, 19, and 20, something like that. I can't turn to it right now, but we belong to God. Therefore, glorify God in your body, the Bible says. And you know what? When I got saved and I submit to God, you know what? That is him looking down. That is me delighting myself in the Lord. And what will he do? He'll give you the desires of your heart. So if he sees me submitting, okay, God, I'll go ahead and tithe. I'll go ahead and read my Bible. I'll go ahead and raise my kids in the church. I'll go ahead and do this. I'll go ahead and serve you, God. You know what? He looks down and says, hey, I see that guy delighting in me. You know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and give him the desires of my heart. You know what? That's submission. And that's submission. Amen. That's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal when you think about it. If I go ahead and submit, he goes ahead and looks down, says, you know what? Hey, he or she is serving me. He or she loves me. They're reading my Bible. They're soaking in the preaching. Their lives are being changed in their life. And they want something good to happen because they're submitted to me because they're abhorring evil. You know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and turn around. I might go ahead and give them a new car. I might go ahead and give them the means of buying something nice or doing this. You know what? I'm going to give them the desires of their heart because they're submitted to me. Hey, how do we denounce sin? We must submit ourselves to God. Now, I've heard Christians say, well, I've tried it that way. I've tried to walk the walk, but it did not work. No, you're just not willing to go ahead and submit. You're not willing to do what it takes. You know, everything worthwhile takes work. You know what? The Christian life's worthwhile. Amen. Everything worthwhile takes work. You know what? Your job is worthwhile. When you go ahead and you look at your monthly expenses, you know what? Your job is worthwhile. And you know what? You'll go ahead and show up to work and work and work and work there. But you know what? The Christian life takes work. And you know what? By the way, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I wouldn't go ahead and trade the Christian life for nothing. Even if I lived, you know, even if I lived in the valley all the time, even if I lived right down here, look right up here now, look right up here. But even if I lived down here all the time, you know, I still got it better off. You know what? Because I got Jesus. Amen. Amen. But you know what? But you know what? And let me just say this. I'm not always down here. And you know what? I'm not always up there. I'm sometimes here. I'm all over the place. But the truth of the matter is, I still got a whole lot better off. Hey, but I've heard people, I've tried that, Pastor. I've tried it, but it didn't work. Hey, you know what? You just weren't willing to go ahead and work for it. You weren't willing to go ahead and work in the Christian life. You want everything maybe perhaps handed to you on a silver platter. Hey, listen to me. And that's why you have a hard time denouncing sin, because you won't simply work and submit to Christ. If we would all submit to Christ, if we were to submit all to Christ, that is, he might just look down, as I mentioned, and submit to you, and he'll give you the desires of his heart. If we're going to go ahead and denounce sin, we must submit. And God will give us the ability. Once we submit, he'll give us the ability to resist the devil. And what's the Bible say? He'll flee. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You know what? I believe once I have learned this act of submission to God, you know what? He's going to go ahead and give me the strength to resist the devil. Why? You know, because I'm on God, you know, I'm on the winning side. You know, God and I make a majority. Amen. You know what? I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what the world's crowd says about me. I don't, you know, that's fine. They say all they want. But the truth of the matter is, no matter whether the whole world's against me or not, you know what? God and I still make a majority. Amen. And you know what? When I learned this act of submission to God, submit ye therefore to God, when I learned this, not only will I believe he'll submit to me and give me the desires of my heart, but you know what? He's going to also, because I'm a majority with him, he's also going to give me the strength to resist the devil. And you know what? I like this. I like the very fact that I can go ahead and give the devil, with God, I can give the devil a workout. Amen. You know what? Because you resist the devil long enough, the Bible says he's going to flee. You know what? And he's going to go to somebody else that's weaker. He's going to go to somebody else that doesn't have the grit, if you will, in the Christian life. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? I want to be the kind of strong Christian that we were talking about. We need to be growing. We need to be meaty Christians, as the Bible talks about, not milky. You know, if we're 30 years old as a saved Christian, we ought not be a milky Christian anymore. We ought to have some meat about us. We ought to have a little bit of grit about us. When the storm clouds come and when the devil kicks us around, we ought to have enough grit to get up and resist the devil and push him around. And let me tell you something. You get enough grit, and if the devil sees that you have enough grit, after a while, he's going to say, you know what? Whoa, he's tiring me out. He's going to go for somebody else. Hey, listen. You know, eventually, you know what, when we submit to God, he'll, you know what, we become a majority, and then he gives us the ability to go ahead and resist the devil. And you know, I love the fact that the devil's going to go ahead and flee. And if you want to overcome some of the sin in your life, we must submit to God and team up with God. And then it'll be then that we'll be able to better resist the temptations and the trials that the devil gives us. Want to overcome the sin of rock music? Submit to God, and you'll be able to resist the devil, and he will flee. You want to overcome drugs? You want to overcome booze? You want to overcome smoking? You want to overcome some bad habit that keeps you from being the kind of Christian you want to be? Hey, submit, and you'll get the strength to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hey, you know what? Well, I'll just say no. What, the 1980s, was it? Nancy Reagan said, say no to drugs. You know what? Why don't we just decide, hey, we're going to band up with Jesus. We're going to say no to sin. You know, if we're going to overcome evil with good, we must always, I said always, denounce sin. Abhor, shrink from it. Hey, you know what? We ought to be growing up more and more, get to a point where we recognize, hey, you know what? There's evil down the road. God will give us wisdom. Okay, as you grow, he'll give you the wisdom. Whoa. You know what? I better backtrack a little bit, and I better, you know, figure out what I'm going to go ahead and do here, because there's evil down the road. He'll give you the wisdom to go ahead and resist it. He'll give you the strength to go ahead and resist it. We just need to learn to say no. Denounce it. Say no to it. If you don't want to be held captive by that besetting sin, say no to the devil and yes to an almighty God. Hey, we just need to say no to the sin of rock music. Say no to the sin of drugs. Say no to the sin of booze. Say no to the sin of cursing. Say no to the sin of smoking. Say no to the desperate housewives. Amen. Say no to the desperate housewives. Say no to the Beverly Hills 90210. Say no to the General Hospital. Say no to the Days of Our Lives. Say no to Conan O'Brien. Say no to Jay Leno. Say no to American Idol. Amen. Hey, you know, if we're going to go ahead and grow and become what we ought to be, hey, you know what? We need to say no to the devil. We need to learn to say no to some of these things. Say no to Eminem. Say no to your rap music. Say no to your country music. Say no to your Randy Travis. Hey, what I'm trying to say, if we don't want to be held captive by the sin of the world, hey, we need to learn to say no. Overcome evil with good. You know, you say, country music, preacher. Come on now. Listen, you just stop and say this. I'm sweating tonight, but praise the Lord. Sweating that, hey, I need to work off a little bit of my meal today. Whew. Some good eating, Mrs. Mitchell, I tell you what. Okay, I'm back on track here. I think I smell a barbecue. I'm sorry. Oh, I've got to get in trouble tonight. Okay, all right, where was I? You know, say no to country music. Come on, preacher. Hey, listen, think about it. What does most of this country music talk about? Is it talking? Listen, let's be realistic. You know what? Yeah, I pick on the rock music, and I certainly always will. It's of the devil. But let's think for just a moment. I'm your pastor. I want to help you. But what does most of it talk about? Does it talk about faithfulness to your wife? Does it talk about lifting up Christ and having a faithful marriage? Not a lot of it. Probably very, very little, if anything. A lot of it's talking about going down to the bar and drinking and smoking and hanging around the wrong crowd. A lot of it's talking about running around and sex outside of marriage. A lot of think about it. And should we putting that in? Should we be pumping that into the mind that God has given us? Hey, we need to abhor that evil. We need to go ahead and say no to sin. We need to say no to the devil. We need to cleave to that which is good. It means join together. You know, James chapter 4, 8 verse, the first part, A, 4, 8A, I was going to say, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Boy, that's so good. Boy, that's good when you think about it. You know, when you take a step closer to God, okay, he says to draw nigh to God, okay? Now, we want to join together with Christ. Now, we're saved, but you know what? We need to hang on to Christ. But the Bible says to draw nigh to him. And when we take our steps closer to God, you know, God's over here, and he says he'll draw nigh. He says, you draw nigh to me, and then I'll draw nigh to you. And you know what? Because we serve such a big God, I have kind of a sneaking suspicion that God's steps are much bigger than mine. Amen. I kind of like that. Maybe I'm guessing here, but you know what? I take my steps because I'm human and mine may not be quite as big. I may not have the energy one day and I'll be lucky if I get a half a step someday. But you know what? As we draw nigh to God, you know what? He says, I will go ahead and draw nigh to you. I have a feeling that some of his steps are a little bit bigger. I have a feeling that he's going to go ahead and keep on drawing nigh to us, and his steps are a little bit bigger. I like that. And the Bible says that we ought to go ahead and cleave to that which is good. We ought to join together. We ought to band up with Christ. We ought to draw nigh to God. Hey, what is good, by the way? Church attendance is good. Amen. Being in church whenever the doors are open is good. Hey, preaching is good. I don't know about you, but I love preaching. And I'm not just saying not just because I'm doing it right now, but I love listening to good preaching. I love, boy, it goes and stirs my soul. Hey, Sunday school is good. Amen. You know, in our little bulletin there, I don't know where it is, but it says four to soar. I'm telling you, boy, you ought to be here four times. Hey, Sunday school is good. Hey, serving God is good. Boy, there's nothing like seeing a little boy and girl smile. There's nothing like going ahead and singing, hearing some boys and girls sing songs about Jesus. There's nothing like coming to church and serving God together like we did tonight and hearing the good old gospel singing and singing together as a church family. Hey, serving God is good. Hey, family time is good. Hey, tithing is good. Hey, praying is good. Singing godly music is good. Soul winning is good. Good Christian fellowship is good. Reading the Bible is good. Hey, teaching a Sunday school class or working on a bus run. Hey, this is good. Hey, what the Bible says, abhor that which is evil and join together, cleave to that which is good. Hey, I'm trying to give you some things to hold on to, some things that'll last. You know what? The Bible says this will stand forever. The Bible's going to stand. It'll never wither away. The God's word will stand forever. You know what? Hey, cleave on to this thing right here. You know, it stands. You know, I hold my hand tonight. The only thing that's perfect. The word of God. You know what? This pulpit's not perfect. I want to go ahead and, with some of the papers in here, if I want to light a match, I could go ahead and throw it in there. And guess what? Hey, this pulpit burned up. You know what? It's not perfect. You know what? The only perfect thing I have in my hand tonight is the word of God. Hey, we can go ahead and try to destroy it. Men have tried to destroy it. The NIV crowd and all the other version crowds gone ahead and tried to destroy this book. But let me tell you something. My word of God stands forever. Amen. And I thank God for the perfect word of God. Hey, listen, you know what? I'm trying to introduce some things that are good. Hey, the church is good. Church attendance is good. Hey, soul winning is good. Teaching a Sunday school class is good. Singing godly music is good. We must get busy joining together and cleaving to that which is good. By the way, we get busy cleaving to that which is good. You know what? We won't have much time to do some of the wrong things. You just get busy for God. You know, I was teaching class, Proverbs chapter 7. I'm not going to turn to it, but teaching in Sunday school this morning. I like that chapter. And every time I read it, I told my class this morning, every time I read it, boy, you know, it strikes me at the heart because it's a very pointed chapter. It really is. Very pointed chapter on how Christians ought to live, but it talks about a son instructing a young man and teaching a young man, and he says with urgency, let me read it. I'm going to read a few verses. It's the Bible. It's all right. It's all good tonight. So let me just turn to Proverbs chapter 7. I'm going to give not a quick lesson. I'm not going to park here, but I'm on a rabbit trail, but it's all right. We're doing good on time. I'm watching the clock, so you do not have to, okay? So everything's fine, and I'll be landing in just a moment. But Proverbs chapter 7, let me just read a couple verses here by way of introduction. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments. Now listen, here's a father writing to his son, okay? My son, keep my words. And when I read this, I notice a sense of urgency here. I notice the intensity that he has and the fervency that he has. My son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. You know, the Bible says that if we would go ahead and keep the words, I'm talking about the word of God, and keep the commandments, you know what? That gives life. I'm talking about the word of God. You know what? We have more freedom as a Christian than someone else in the world does tonight. You know why? Because they're bound by sin, and they're bound by destruction tonight. They may not know it. They may think they're happy, but the truth of the matter is we have a lot of freedom tonight because we have the word of God. We get to study the word of God. We get to preach the word of God. We get to read the word of God, and here's a son being urgent. Hey, listen, I've lived a little while. I've lived a little while, and I want your son to listen to me. I want you to keep my words. I want you to keep my commandments, and because if you do that, you're going to live. You'll have some freedom. And my law, the Bible says in verse 2, my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them, he says, bind these commandments upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call unto understanding thy kinswoman. He says, wisdom and understanding, they go hand in hand here. Thou art my sister or kinswoman, someone that's very close. Keep wisdom very close. He's talking to a young man, a son here, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the casement, at the window of my house, I look through the casement. Here, listen, it's talking about a young man that, yes, dad, with, I think, some sense of urgency, he's, listen to me, son, I've lived a little while. I want to help you, and I want to protect you from some of the strange women and some of the sin of the world. Hey, listen to me. I want you to cleave on to some things that are good, so you need to go ahead and listen to me. And the Bible says that right here, he was looking, this young man, he went ahead and heard, but he was looking through the casement of his window, looking out the window, and there's, I'm not going to read the whole story, but it says that he got looking, he had some idle time on his hands, he was passing through the street, and before you know it, he was linked up with a harlot, and he went to the harlot's house simply because he did not go ahead and listen back yonder. He started hanging around, he had some idle time, he was not busy. What I'm trying to say tonight, you get busy serving God, you stay busy serving God, you know what, you won't have a whole lot of time to do much else. You know, I mean, and I'm saying, let me tell you something, and serving God is fun. I have the most fun of my life in the church. You know, man, we got all these fellowships going on. We got all these things going, ladies fellowship, men's fellowship. We got children's fellowship. We got teen fellowship. Hey, we got so many fellowships going on that, man, you know what? You could go ahead and get so involved that you wouldn't have to sit back with some idle time. You wouldn't have to sit back to a point where you're looking out the window. What do I do? Hey, you know, we got things right in the church to keep us busy. There's no reason for us to have to go ahead and fall into deep sin. I know that we're robed in flesh. I know that we'll make some mistakes. But the truth of the matter is we have a ministry right here we ought to get involved in. And we ought to go ahead and be here every time the doors are open. You say you're trying to get numbers for these fellowships. You're trying to get numbers in church. No, but I'm trying to help you and I'm trying to keep you from destruction tonight. Hey, we need to cleave on to that, which is good. This young man didn't. You know, and boy, and I haven't finished that lesson. I'm going to finish it next week. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? There's so much there. That young man had a daddy that gave him some rules and some instructions. I want you to listen to me. But he chose not to cleave on to that which is good. And destruction came his way. As you could read later on, read the rest of that chapter. We need to get busy serving God. It'll be much easier. You know what? If we just get busy serving God, it'll be much easier saying goodbye to the alcohol. Say goodbye to the drugs and the rock music and the Hollywood and all the things that go ahead and stray us from God. It'll be so much easier when we just get busy. So, boy, there's a whole lot to do. Boy, there's a whole lot to do, folks. You know, and I know I'm preaching to the you know, to some degree, the cream of the crop tonight. I mean, if you come back Sunday night, man, you know, you come back for something, amen? And the truth of the matter is I know I'm preaching, but listen to me. Boy, folks, tonight, we have a lot we can be busy in. You know, this crowd, I'm talking about this crowd right now. You know what? There's no reason for us to backslide simply because we got so much that we can be busy for God doing. You know what? All our friends could be right here tonight. You know, my best of friends are right in this room tonight. You know, this is where I ought to be. We ought not be searching the world for our friendships. You know, we ought to just be busy serving God. Get busy in church. You know, a lot of my friendships, a lot of my fellowship is just getting busy with people in church. Amen. We need to cleave to that which is good, to overcome evil with good. How do we overcome with evil with good? Number 2, we need to be dependable and serving. The Bible says in Romans 12:11. Let's skip back here, down to number 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We need. How are we going to overcome evil with good? We need to be dependable in serving. We must not be lazy in that service for God. Do it wholeheartedly. Boy, we must go ahead and give that bus route our whole heart. We must give them bus kids our whole heart. Realize the influence. Boy, realize it. You know what? Realize the influence that you have. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what it is. But realize the influence. You know, if you're an adult here tonight, it doesn't matter what position you hold. Maybe you don't teach a class. Maybe you just come and you pray and you sit in church, and that's great, and praise the Lord for you. But realize the influence that, you know, little eyes are looking at you. Boy, little boys and girls, if you will, teenagers and maybe even some adults, they're looking at you. Boy, we must not be lazy in our service for God. If our service for God is just church attendance, boy, we ought not be lazy for that. If our service for God is working a bus route, boy, we must not be lazy. The Bible also says be fervent in spirit. Fervent literally means to glow or to be hot. Your spirit is glowing, is so glowing, if you will, that it is contagious. You know, that's what that word fervent in spirit. The Bible, let's read it again. Verse number 11, not slothful, not lazy. We shouldn't be lazy. We need to be dependable. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I love that. Fervent, you know, you ought to be glowing. You ought to be so hot. You ought to be excited about the things of God that is contagious. Boy, you ought to be excited about going out soul winning. And when someone gets saved, you ought to come back and say, hey, pastor, hey, honey, telling the people, hey, you know what happened? Someone got saved. You know, that's glowing. That's exciting. That's contagious. Boy, there ought to be a glow about you. Boy, you know, I wonder about people's Christianity when they go walking, you know, them open, you know, what was me? I'm undone. Things are just terrible. My cat died. Man, I better stop there. You know, this happened. This is 1 month in money. You know, this happened, and I've not been feeling too good. You know, and don't misunderstand. I know we have heartaches. I know we have disappointments, and I know we don't feel good at times. But the truth of the matter is we ought to be, and I've mentioned it a lot lately, we ought to be the happiest people around. There ought to be a certain glow about us. People ought to look at you when you go down the mall, say, boy, there's something different about you and your family, the way they're dressed, the way they act, the way you act. You have a spirit about you. Boy, they ought to go ahead and look at you and say, there's a glow about you. There's an excitement about you. There's a fervency in spirit about you. We ought to be giving our all to that class and that bus route, as I mentioned. Boy, we ought to have a contagious spirit. We ought to go ahead and be dependable in our serving. We ought not be lazy. We ought to serve God with our time. Boy, we ought to take time to witness and win the lost to Christ. We ought to take time to be in church. We ought to take time in reading our Bible. We ought to take time in serving God and being what God wants us to be. We ought to be serving God with our talent. Everyone here, you know what? All of us can do something for God. You say, well, I'm unable. No, we're not. All of us have an ability. God has given you something that you can do for him. You know what? Maybe if all you can do for him is you can sign up once a month and you can just go ahead and vacuum some floors and wash some windows. Amen. You know what? That's an ability that you ought to use for God. Amen. If your ability is maybe taking some tracts and going out soul winning, and you have some ability to speak and go knocking on doors and tell people about Christ, we ought to do that. If your ability perhaps is to go ahead and you have a chatty ability, which would give you the ability, if you will, to teach a class, you ought to go ahead and do that. Hey, you know what? We ought to take the talent that God used us, has given us, and use it for God. Boy, we ought to go ahead and give a kind word to someone who needs it. We ought to give a smile to someone who needs it. We ought to lend a helping hand to one who needs it. We ought to be looking for the ones who need help. That's what Christianity is all about. If we don't see the need in the poor, if we don't see the need, and by the way, the liberals and everybody will say, hey, I want to go ahead and help the poor and all that while they're living in all their rich, fancy houses. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, real Christianity is we recognize the needs of the lost, the poor, the maimed, the blind, people that are hurting. Hey, you know what? God has given us ability all to go ahead and do our part in reaching people. And again, maybe it's just, maybe it is being a janitor around here at the church. Praise the Lord. Maybe it is sweeping a bus. I don't know, but whatever it is, praise the Lord. Hey, Christianity is all about helping people. We ought not be stuffed shirts. Talk a lot about that, but we ought to, well, I'm somebody, you know, I have a mansion, not just over the hilltop, but I have one just down the street. with oceanfront property. And by the way, if you do, praise God and use it for God. But we ought not to time somebody be, oh, well, let me show you what I have in my wallet. I have about 15, 20 credit cards. Well, good. Okay? I don't want to know how much you owe on them credit cards. Well, you know, I got about $300 in my pocket. Well, amen and praise the Lord. Just tithe off it. Amen. But no, but listen, you know, and I'm being a little bit, listen to me. Hey, you know what? We ought not be so stuffed that with somebody. We ought not get, you know, and I'll say it again, we ought not get in our little cliques. You know, Faith Baptist Church cliques. Well, I'll squash him like a bug. I promise you that. I will squash them like a bug. There's no need of it. None. None, none, none. And I thank God, and I've walked into a unified church, and we ought to stay a unified church. And whether we run 60 or whether we run 360, we need to be unified, because whoever walks through them doors need that loving hand and need a kind word. We ought not get so stuffed that, well, you know, well, they're from a different part of the city. Where would you be had you not met Jesus? Amen. But listen, we need to go ahead and serve God with our time, with our talent. We need to go ahead and serve God with our treasure. Let me just read Matthew chapter 6. A couple more verses here. I'm through. I know what time it is. We're doing just fine. Doing just fine. Matthew chapter 6. Let me read a few verses. 19. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's your investment. Your treasure is your investment. You know, when you go ahead and I know a good friend of mine who invests in the stock market. Good guy, good solid Christian fella. He's a youth pastor, I believe he is, in a church, but he's very smart and he works the stock market. But the truth is, when he invests, you know what? He's very interested in them stocks. You know why? Because he's got investment there. You know, he's very, very interested. You know, he goes ahead and checks on that. You know, he keeps right on the phone, and he knew how to go ahead and just keep it working and so forth. You know what? Because he's invested. He has an invested interest. He has some money in it, perhaps, and different things. But when you take God's money that he's given you and you invest it in his work, in the church, by tithing and missions giving, you know what? You have a tendency to do the same thing. When you faithfully take out that 10% and you willingly go ahead, you know, number one, it shows how much you really love God. Okay, but when you're willing to go ahead and take out that 10% and drop it into the offering plate, you know what? And you faithfully are willing to go ahead and do that, you know what? You have a tendency, you start building up a vested interest in that work. Let me explain. Okay, you take someone, again, if you take someone who invests and gives just like someone, okay, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you go ahead and invest your treasure, if you will, the money, you know what? Your heart will have a tendency to be there, be in that church. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You give, you get in the habit of giving. You know what? Then you start thinking, okay, man, you start wanting to see what's going on at Faith. Your heart starts really getting involved. Your heart starts getting into the things of God, and you put your heart where your treasure is, the Bible says. And it's so important for us to go ahead, not only to serve God with our time, not only to serve God with our talent, but we ought to go ahead, we need to, the Bible says, serve God with our treasure. You know what? You invest in God's work, let me tell you something, and then he'll go ahead and start investing more in you, by the way. He'll go ahead and start pouring out his blessings, as the Bible says, upon you. But we need to be faithful with that. You know, 2 years ago, let me illustrate it this way. A couple years ago, Calvary Baptist Church, a previous church I worked at, took about a year or so. We had a little chart, and it was towards missions giving. And Kevin Wynn, a missionary to Mexico City, he had gone ahead and told Pastor Christner the burden of starting some more churches. I mean, he has his big work there in Mexico City, but he's got preacher boys all over Mexico starting churches. And he was saying, he wrote letters to several pastors and said that, you know what, for so much money, for a minimal fee, you could buy property in Mexico. And for just a little amount of money, I forget all the money and so forth, but for not very much, you can also build a church in Mexico. So my pastor got up and he says, you know what? We're going to go ahead and we're going to raise money. we're going to take a, he said, so much time. We're going to raise money, anything over and above the tithe, which is the offering and so forth. We're going to go ahead and raise money, and we're going to color in that chart as it comes in. Took several months, took maybe a year, if you will. And when we went ahead and raised the money, you know what? We had enough money to come in to not only build a church and buy the property, but we had also enough money in that period of time, that year, was able to go towards building another church. Now, we had Kevin Wynn come in for a missions conference. We had Kevin Wynn come in, and we were just excited as a church. We were able to give him this big check, and I forget that it was a while back. Forget all the money and he was just very excited. And that night, when he looked at the check, he was able to tell the people. He says, "You know what? There's enough money not to just build one, but you know what? We can start building two." Let me tell you something. Right now, I don't know what time it is in Mexico City, but right now, my pastor back home in Maine, he's preaching in the church that was built by Calvary Baptist Church. I mean, built by God, but that Calvary Baptist Church had a part of. He's preaching it as a dedication service today there. You know what? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And what he did was he was willing to go ahead and the investment that Calvary Baptist Church put into it, he was able to go ahead and go see. He was able to go ahead and see exactly what that money did. And you know what, that money, that investment, if you will, you know, is going to see many, many people's lives change. It's going to see dozens of people's souls saved. Hey, listen, we need to go ahead and learn to invest. And we need to go ahead and give, serve God with our treasure. And Bible says, you know, it's biblical to go ahead and give to God. And by the way, he will go ahead and give back and invest in you. Hey, listen, number three. How do we overcome evil with good? We need to abhor and denounce sin. Say no to sin. Be dependable in serving. Be in your place serving the Lord. Number three, continue to dedication to self. Bible says in Romans 12:1, I'll just read a verse here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to, number three, if we're going to go ahead and overcome evil with good, we need to continue dedication of self. You know, every day we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. You know, how do we do that? You know, I heard a great preacher once say, you know, he would, by presenting your body a living sacrifice, that means you say, okay, God, you control my mind. You control my eyes. You control what I hear. You control what I look at. You control what I taste. You control where I go with my feet. You control what I touch. You control. You know, truth matters, that is presenting your body a living sacrifice. If we're going to go ahead and overcome evil with good, hey, I mentioned there's a whole list. Every time you're bombarded with it, once you walk out the doors, you're bombarded with evil. And it goes into your mind and it stays there. And the truth of the matter is, if we need to go ahead and continue dedication of self, and we need to go ahead and present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Just as God gave all, he wants all from us. He deserves it. Why would we want to give him any less than our best? Why would we want to listen to that which grieves him? Why would we want to watch that which grieves him? We must continually dedicate our life to him. Hey, you know what? How do we go ahead and continue dedication to self? We need to get in this Bible. I said it just at the beginning, and I'm almost through, but we need to get in this Bible. We need to be growing as Christians. And as we grow and we pray and we walk with God, it's going to better enable us to have a red flag when sin enters into our path, and it'll help us to abhor evil and to detest evil. Hey, you know what? We need to get in the book. We need to make this this Bible the guide of life. Make it a big part of our life. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. And this word of God right here charts our course. And you know what? By the way, you know what? Thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know what? This book right here will not, let me read it so I get it right. We cannot be sinless. That's one word. We cannot, that's one word, sinless. But by us allowing God to chart our course with this word, it will cause us to sin less. Two words. You know, we need to continue dedication of ourselves to God. We need to literally present our bodies a living sacrifice. And each and every day, we need to say, okay, God, you control my mind. Let this mind be in you. You control where I go. You control what I think about. You control what I touch. You control everything, my eyes, my ears. And We need to walk with God. We need to make this Bible a big part of our life. That is how we continue dedication to self. Dedicate your life to God. Each and every day, we often have to do it. We live in a very wicked society. How do we overcome evil with good? Say no to sin. Don't hang with it or those who do. Be dependable in your service. Get busy for God and continue your dedication of self to Jesus. Here am I. Remember the song, Here Am I, God? We can make it. You know, the Bible says, you know, I've had people say, let me just stop and say this as I'm through. I've had people say, I can't do it. I can't go ahead. I mean, there's so much bombarding my mind. There's so much out there at the workplace. There's so much and so much, so much. I can't go ahead and do it. You know, the Bible says, you know what? That is direct contrary to the Word of God. One simple verse. I can do all things through me, through Christ, which weakens, no, which strengtheneth me. Well, I'd much rather, you know, God's strength's a whole lot better strength than mine. I'm weak, I'm frail, okay? But let me tell you something, I can do. Don't tell me that I can't go ahead and do right, that you can't. Because we have a word of God, we have a God's promise right there, you can do it. Teenager, you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to watch it. Adult, we don't have to listen to it either. We don't have to watch it. We can go ahead and control. We can overcome evil with good. But we need to go ahead and hate sin enough and hate the devil enough. Abhor evil, cleave on to that which is good, be dependable, and dedicate continually our life to God. Now, Heavenly Father, sure to love you, Lord, and very best I could, I conveyed this message the way you'd want it to be. Oh, God, I know you could do it a whole lot better. But, Lord, I know it's an evil world, yet you so love the world. So, therefore, we must keep on combating the world, and therefore, we must keep on trying to win the world because you so loved the world. I pray, God, that we won't live by this excuse that we can't overcome. Yes, we can. You've given us the strength, and you've given us the ability to do so through your word. I pray, dear God, that we'll strengthen ourselves anew to you tonight. Be dedicated to you, to your word, to your service. I pray, God, that we'll detest that which is evil. We'll abhor it, but we'll cleave onto that stuff that's good. And God, when I think about it, we have a lot that is good. You've been so good to us, and you've given us so much. I pray, God, that you'll help us and strengthen us and help us to overcome evil with good. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The music's going to go ahead and play, so let's stand to our feet right now. Maybe God spoke to your heart somehow. Maybe you're battling with a little bit of sin, some things that you know is just keeping you from being what God wants you to be. Boy, I plead with you tonight. Deal with it. Let's get it right. Music's going to play now.
What is it you're dealing with?
What is it? One little thing? One little word that you've been battling? One little...